Hey, welcome to another episode of Confidently She. My name's Rebecca Biggie, your host. I have someone joining me on the show today, one of my best friends in the whole world for the past like 12 years. I don't know, Ryan, how long have we been friends?
I want to say like 6th or 7th grade. I know it really took off, you know, just waiting for our respective parents at the junior high doors.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that. Yeah. So the Ryan Duff, future medical extraordinaire.
I'm applying to internal medicine programs. So if you go to a hospital, you have very bad pneumonia and you get admitted, you'll see, as long as you're above the age of 18, you'll see an internal medicine doctor.
Okay. So, right. Yeah. Figuring out what's going on inside your body, which is perfect. He is going to share some different physiological things that your body does for you every day, what it's actually doing when you're experiencing certain pain or stress, or how it rebuilds itself during sleep. Because what we talked about last week was different ways to build respect for your body. And I think one of the biggest ways that you build respect for anyone is you realize all the hard work that they've done on something.
That's how I do. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was a question there, but I agree wholeheartedly.
Perfect.
Yeah. But it does it. And one of the beautiful things, at least to me, about medicine is the more you get to learn something, the more fascinating it is. You start to sort of unravel the complexity of it all and start to manage it in bite-sized, understandable pieces. And sometimes, you know, sometimes little bits of information will come on that you just find fascinating. Sticks with you. And, you know, as I've progressed through medical education, those little moments kind of pile up and you always think back to them and always sort of appreciate just kind of how amazing the human body is. And then you never want to stop learning more about it.
You have this way of explaining things that are super complicated, super complex, like super detailed, and with lots of jargon traditionally, in a very simple, easy to understand way for someone like me who doesn't really know much about like the medical field specifically, but like can put things together. So you do a really good job of that. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say about what our bodies are doing for us every day.
It does help to have a mind of a 5-year-old when you're trying to explain things like a 5-year-old. So
very encouraging to know that the future doctor of internal medicine has the brain of a 5-year-old. Noted.
Anybody can do it.
Okay. So you said that you're fascinated by the human body. I am, probably for different reasons, but can you share a little bit just about like why you got into medicine and kind of like a few of the things that stood out before we get into like the specific questions about what it does every day?
You know, it's funny, I got into the truest origin story of wanting to get in medicine was, you know, being at a friend's house whose dad was an ophthalmologist and said, hey, I want to have a house that big too. But fortunately, you know, that takes a big turn when I actually start learning about these things and learning physiology and learning the mechanics of, you know, what happens internally in our bodies, in our brains, in our muscles, in our organs and things like that, and how, you know, how beautiful these sort of systems are when they're working by themselves and, you know, together as a whole to sort of make us do what we can do to run, to walk, to sleep, to eat, to socialize, to do everything. It's a beautiful interplay. It's a beautiful symphony, and it only got more interesting as I went on through undergrad. Yeah, that was a big impetus for me. Beyond wanting to be rich, because now I couldn't care less. As long as I got to practice medicine and just have somewhere to sleep and eat, I'd be okay. I think that's what sort of keeps me coming back, is there's always fascinating things. The more you learn, the more questions you get to ask, and the more people find the answers to those questions. It's always a never ending cycle of learning more and appreciating the things, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's cool because like you started off with a really shallow, superficial reason to be a doctor, right? Which is like typical, right?
Yeah.
If you want to be a doctor.
17-year-olds are pretty superficial. At least I was.
Right. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer. It's probably because you want to be rich. You want to make money. Yeah. And along the way, you realized, wow, there's actually a lot more to this. And that is more important to me than making money. And the interesting part about that is that's what's going to help you stick it through. So the reason that is interesting to me is because that is along the same lines of the reason why we chase these body ideals to begin with too, right? So it's like we think, oh, I want to lose weight because I want to be hot. You know, I want to be attractive. I want people to find me attractive. That's why I want to change the way my body looks. And you can do that. But if you're doing something for a shallow, superficial reason, it's probably not going to be sustainable. And my hope is that you'll understand more about your body the way you understood more about medicine to kind of like fall in love with that other part of it. Because once you know all the things that your body is doing for you every day, it's kind of hard to not be like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry that I have treated you so terribly. Like, I should have just like given you a break here. Not treated you like an object, but like saw you, body, for everything that you are. So I want to go just really simple. Why do we need to feed our body every day?
When you want to understand how something works, like you can see what happens when you take it away.
Yeah.
So a lot of genes are understood, you know, you can get into the ethics behind this, but you know, if you knock out a gene in a mice, what happens to the mice? If you see the deficiency in the person or the mouse or whatever, you say, oh, this gene must be responsible for that. So as I explain this, try to keep that as an analogy in mind. So if you, sort of go to your question, what do you need food for? What happens when you don't eat food, right? You start to lose weight. And that's not you like, you know, you lose fat and you start to get super lean. If you prolong not eating, your body needs to derive energy from something. And if you're not ingesting energy, it has to get that energy from somewhere. It's going to get it from itself. So that could be the form of, you know, sort of using all the energy in your body stored as fat, stored as muscle, stored as, you know, glycogen or sugar, carb is probably easier way to understand that. It will start breaking those things down to use for energy. And body needs energy to do everything, right? So your heart uses energy when it pumps blood, right? That's a muscle. Muscles need energy. You know, your lungs need energy to expand and contract, and things like that. Your brain needs energy to sort of process the imaging and the sounds and stuff that come, you know, throughout the outside world. So if you don't eat, right, if you don't ingest calories, let's say calories is a surrogate for energy, right? Calories is energy. If you don't ingest energy, your body is going to need to get it from somewhere.
So I love how you talked about our heart pumping blood, our lungs expanding and contracting, because sometimes we get to the end of the day and we're like, I didn't even do anything today. Like, why am I so hungry? Why am I eating all this food? But sometimes we don't remember that it's like, well, maybe your brain was using a lot of energy, but like you were doing this really involved project or you were literally just simply existing requires energy. And I think we forget that if we're not like actively exercising one day, we think that we don't deserve to like eat.
which is horrible, right? Because I mean, even at baseline, even the smallest person in the world, you know, and person still needs, you know, a certain amount of calories, even if they were literally asleep and not moving, you know, because like you said, your heart doesn't stop when you go to sleep. Your heart doesn't stop when you just stop moving. You don't just stop breathing. Your brain doesn't just stop synthesizing information and, you know, providing you with consciousness. Like those things require energy. I mean, so yeah, if you, like you said, if you did absolutely nothing, you did not move, and there's experience where they have people do that. They have people, you know, not just have somebody literally just sit there and exist and not move at all. You'll still burn whatever. I mean, it's different for every person, but you'll still burn energy is the point. Regardless of whatever the number is, you will still be consuming energy.
So that's just a good like baseline reminder that it's like, even if you didn't exercise and like intentionally expend more energy, like your body is running itself every single moment of every day, whether you're conscious or not. So that's a good reminder to just like build respect for like your heart pumping blood, your lungs working, your liver. I don't know all the things that your liver does, but I think it's a lot. What does your liver do, Ryan? Besides process the alcohol, we all know that.
Yeah, everybody's pretty familiar with the liver enzymes and alcohol. Well, the liver is a giant source of not fat energy, but carbohydrate energy. And suffice to say, if you are, you know, quote unquote fasting, or, and I don't mean like 24 hours or 48 hours or, you know, weeks with fasting. I mean, like just even in the 4 to 5 hours you've maybe not eaten, your liver can start breaking down some of the stored carbohydrate and releasing it in the blood. The liver does do detox. It does, it stores energy. It breaks down energy. So you can't live without one. But
it grows back.
It does. You can lose, I think, 2/3 or 3/4 of it and, you know, have it grow back. But
that's amazing. Yeah. Like even that in itself, it's like if you don't gain a little more respect by remembering the fact that your liver can regenerate part of itself, like get out of here. Like that's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. Okay.
It's the liver. The liver is a beautiful organ. Not the coolest organ in my opinion, but
what's the coolest organ in your opinion?
I like the lungs. The lungs are cool. Many people are probably familiar with the
talk breathing. About
like yes, right, exactly. Yeah.
You may have heard of breathing.
Yes, you may be familiar with this this action that you do by sucking in air. So when you breathe in, everybody knows you breathe in oxygen. Oxygen is the thing that you breathe in. So the lungs are what provide that to your blood. So you breathe in, your diaphragm goes down, it contracts, your lungs expand, your chest wall grows out, right? Fill your lungs full of air, oxygen. Your lungs are receiving blood that is deoxygenated, right? And so it is transferring the oxygen that you're taking in from the outside, right? It's putting on your blood, and then the blood is giving your lungs waste products, you know, bicarb, other sort of inert gases and things like that. It's blowing it out. So you breathe in fresh air, you breathe out used air, right? But why do you need oxygen? Oxygen is used throughout the body to burn energy, essentially. Part of dealing with the food that you eat and turning that into energy. Yeah, your car's full of gas, right? But you don't have a starter. You don't have a way to start it. It's like you can have all the energy in the world, but if you don't have a way to light this fire, it doesn't mean anything.
So it kind of like filters your blood kind of with oxygen.
Yeah.
We all took health and body classes, whatever. But like whenever I think of the lungs, I don't think of blood.
Yes.
I think of air, you know, like right. You think of the heart, you think of blood and that's it. But it's like, mm-hmm. No, like the lungs are the ones giving right. It what it needs. That's yes. Interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's where you need oxygen to live and to burn energy.
And your blood is what brings it through your body and your lungs is what fills your blood with it.
Yes, exactly. The heart and the lungs work together. Something has to bring the blood to your lungs. Okay, it's done with your heart. So all the veins in your body go back into two big veins that empty you right into your heart. Your heart, one side of your heart will send all of that, you know, used up blood to your lungs. Your lungs, as you breathe in, take it in, oxygen comes into your lungs. All the blue, the stuff that makes your blood blue, the, you know, the gases and the waste and stuff like that, that can be, you know, in the air as a gas. Comes out of your lungs as you breathe out. So now, your lungs, having breathed in oxygen, putting that oxygen into your, you know, blood, to turn that blue blood, that used up, you know, waste product blood, into nice, bright red, oxygenated, ready-to-go blood that it got from the heart. Now, all those little vessels, all those blood vessels and around the lungs, go into the other side of your heart. That side of your heart will take all that fresh awesome, you know, like 6 a.m. bakery, fresh bread, blood.
That fresh baked blood.
Fresh baked blood. And send it to your body. So the left side of your heart, most people are probably maybe familiar with the term aorta, or your, you know, carotids and things like big, big blood vessels in your body, sends it all out to those. And then the whole cycle repeats.
Yeah. It's like, those are things that I probably learned at some point, but definitely forgot, you know, as I learned other random things that you need to know as an adult, you just like forget about things that your body does for you constantly every day. We have a problem with being impatient with our bodies, especially when it comes to like changing the way we look, or even if we are exercising or doing things for the right reasons of trying to get stronger, trying to increase our flexibility, trying to, you know, just like improve our overall physical health in those ways. We can sometimes become impatient when like we're really sore or we're recovering from a workout and we feel guilty for taking a rest day. Can you explain to us what our body does when it's recovering from a workout and why we would need rest?
When you do like strength building exercise or like lifting exercise, something to sort of like build strength, you essentially create like small tears in your muscle fibers, right? Like that's sort of the impetus for why muscles grow, why they get stronger. There has to be some sort of level of breaking down and then rebuilding. So you've basically sent a stimulus to your muscles to say, this is what I'm expecting, right? So you need to adapt in order to sort of repeat this stimulus again. Your body sort of understands pressures that it's receiving and adapts, you know, accordingly. In a very basic sense, you need rest in order for your body to build those adaptations to the stress that you put it under. And you can feel that. Like that's something you can feel. You do not have to be a PhD. I feel sore. My body's telling me like I can't work this muscle right now, or I cannot do this exercise right now. Give me time. Give me like, you know, your body's not like lying to you.
So your muscles have these little tears in them and they're rebuilding themselves, and that's why you're sore, right?
Right.
That's what the soreness, what is that feeling? Why do you feel sore? What's going on in your body?
Little, just tiny biochemical signals from the muscle or from the nerves that are saying, hey, this is not okay. You know, back off. You know, this hurts, you know,
right.
same way as you'd stub your toe. Right.
Yeah.
It gets inflamed and it's all red and all these things happen. Those are small, you know, you've created damage to a tissue. And when you do that, whether it's your skin, whether it's your muscle, whether it's an organ, whatever it is, there will be signals that get sent out that says, you did damage here. Take it easy. And you need to recover from that damage. And your body will sort of get used to that over time. And it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt as much, or you feel like, oh, okay, like this is kind of, you know, this is okay. It's maybe like stiff or something, but yeah. But you get used to that over time. So,
yeah. And the only way that your body has to communicate to you is through like pain and different little feelings where it's like, oh, I feel hungry. Oh, I feel pain when I move my arm like this. Maybe I shouldn't move my arm like this right now. Or maybe something's going on, you know? So it's like your body cannot talk to you. And so like listening to when you feel sore, when you feel tired, when you feel hungry, when you feel full, all of those things, it's like that's your body communicating with you. And if you bring this back to respect, how much respect do you have for someone that you don't listen to?
Right.
Like if someone's talking to you and you're just like, no, like you're just like, I'm literally not even hearing what they're saying. You don't respect that person. So like a very simple way to start respecting your body is to listen to these signals and appreciate that the reason why, like you said before, your body's not lying to you. Like the reason why it's giving you this signal of like, ow, that hurts, is because it needs to take a minute.
And I say that's especially true for folks that maybe especially with quarantine stuff, just maybe a plethora of all these, you know, you're at home now, so here's all these, you know, 30-minute workouts, so you can do at home or something like that. If you haven't done sort of workouts for a while, you might be sore for a long time, you know, so that's it's something you have to respect. And if you look at me, I'm somebody who, you know, I'm aerobically well-trained, and actually used to be very well, like, you know, sort of anaerobic or like sort of, you know, high intensity, you know, high weight training, whereas my aerobic system may not have been as well trained. So if I were to go to the gym right now and do, try to even lift half of the weight that I did when I was, you know, like in high school, like playing football and things like that, yeah, I would be sore for like 2 weeks if I could even do it at all. If you're just doing something right from the get-go, like that does take time. And the other thing it does too is like you start to get a feel as you do this over time gradually, what signals you're getting from your body that are like, oh, I'm like maybe stiff. And I know that this feeling I have in my leg isn't really pain. It's not really an injury. Like I'm not going to get hurt if I do this thing that I enjoy doing today versus being able to tell like, oh, this is an injury. Like I can't, like I shouldn't do things today. Right. And that takes time to understand. As a runner, you know, I've been doing this for a few years. I know what things I feel in my feet and my calves and things like that, where I'm like, no, this is not the day to do X or Y workout. Mm-hmm. No, I need to give this rest. But that only comes with time. So, and you can only do it slowly because you can't, like, you don't want to have to go over the mark of to getting injured to figure out where that line is. You just want to be, you know, either well underneath it or sort of pushing at it, but not going over. And that's the whole idea behind working out. And that takes patience. That takes time. That takes, and you're only going to get there if you enjoy what you're doing.
Right. We have this expectation that because we have lived every moment of our lives in our body, that we somehow know our body. And it's like, well, if you haven't paid attention to it, that's like saying, well, I've lived my whole life next door to my neighbor. I know everything about them. It's right. Like, no, like unless you've taken the time to like get to know them, you can coexist with someone. You can coexist with your body without knowing it. And yeah, it takes a lot of patience. It takes trial and error to figure out when is it okay to push myself a little bit further? And when is it like, oh, actually this does feel a little like tweaked out. Like what's going on with my hip there? I need to stop. And I think a big part of it is just taking your own expectations, your own ego out of the equation and letting your body be like in control for a bit, where it's like, maybe you don't know what's best for your body right now. Like maybe you need to let your body take the lead and then adjust later. But if you're going into the workout, like you said before, I used to be able to do all of this stuff, so I'm just going to do it again. And if I can't, then I'm going to feel bad about myself. It's like, well, no, like how do you have that expectation of your body? You haven't done that in almost 10 years. Like,
right.
Why do you think that you'd be able to do that?
And, you know, and coming at it from this sort of like a medical aspect, and you don't need to lift weights 2 hours a day, 7 days a week to be healthy. You don't need to run marathons to be healthy. The healthiest people in the world don't really even do exercise outside of their daily lives. And okay, that's, you know, that's a little different because, you know, a lot of those folks, you know, live a less urbanized lifestyle. They don't have cars, so they do a lot of walking, and they, you know, maybe some of those folks are farmers and they do a lot of, you know, work outside and things like that. But like, you know, if you look at recommendations set forth by institutions full of people far smarter than I'll ever even hope to be, the recommended exercise in a day is, if you get 45 minutes of brisk walking throughout the day, you know, and that's, you could do that any day. I mean, you don't need to be The Rock Johnson to be a healthy individual or to even feel good or to even, you know, look, you know, quote unquote good, and which is entirely, you know, you can look as good as you want and think you look terrible, so it doesn't really matter. But like to be healthy is not some you know, pie in the sky idea where you have to look like you have to have a 12 pack, you know, and you have some Silicon Valley dude give you phentermine, you know, twice a week, and you're literally just strung out on drugs trying to lose weight. It's like, no, that is not health. You know, healthy is just good, sustained, you know, motion throughout the day.
Yeah. And how much sense would that make, right? Like, think about it from an evolutionary standpoint. Like, okay, in order to maintain this vessel, you need to dedicate half of your waking hours to, you know, exercise and nutrition and doing this and doing that and whatever. And it's just like, what else would we have time to do? Like, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills if I had to, you know, be doing these stretches and exercises and weight training this and whatever that, weighing and measuring every ounce and gram of my food. Like, it's not supposed to be that complicated because it's in theory supposed to kind of run itself.
Mm-hmm. And to think that we've somehow hacked the role of nutrition in our world beyond our evolutionary capacities, sort of asinine, right? There's no precedent for doing something like that in our past evolution. And yet we've had billions of species of animals live hundreds of millions of years on this planet.
Right. Nobody sees squirrels measuring the acorns and like making sure that they have a certain amount of like weight and whatever in their diet or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It really is though. There's no big secrets to physical health. It's what you learned in kindergarten. It's get outside here and there, enjoy time with people, you know, eat fruits and vegetables, get some sleep, drink lots of water. I can get down into the nitty gritty of every enzyme, every plant in your body and all these things. And in the end, we already know the answers, right? It's giving yourself some love and giving the people around you some love. And you already know how to do that. So just do it.
Right. Your body is an amazing instrument. It doesn't take that much to maintain it. You just need to understand what it's doing. You're on the same team.
Agreed.
All right. Thanks for coming on the episode.
Thank you. I was super happy to be here. I am still very jealous of your geographic location compared to mine. However, it was a beautiful day. I didn't take that for granted. And I did get outside. So.
All right, hear me out. If you loved this episode, you will also love the Confidence Kickstart. Go to RebeccaBiggie.com/programs. And either way, I'll see you soon on another episode showing you the fun side of femininity and teaching you to be confidently she.